We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states. And the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sports, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have our Detroit Lions versus the Pittsburgh Steelers final review. We're going to break down this game in more details. And also, we're going to crown this week's Oopsie Doopsie and Baller of the Week. All in episode 208 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire.
With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's gonna run it straight in! Jared Goff!
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! TJ Hawkins, yes! They did it! They tied it! They're an extra point away from winning this game! Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 208 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler. Today's episode is going to be sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code PRIDEPOD. They are matching up all the way up to $100. And if you're not comfortable putting $100, they're matching up to $10, $20, $30. The list goes on. It's up to $100, as low as $10. So go take advantage of that. Go use them on the pick'ems, even though I've been on a very cold streak and I don't want to talk about that right now. But I got my man Malcolm with us. No Peter with us. Malcolm, how you doing today? It's not a loss Monday. It's not a victory Monday. It's a tie Monday. How you doing today, man?
Ooh.
Not ooh. Great.
Ooh. Ooh. I guess. Ooh. All right.
How's your underdog picks going? Because you know you have some news to spill now.
Oh, I finally won. Let's go! I finally pull up a dub, man. Finally, man. I put random parlay. I was just like, yo, whatever, yo. I'm just gonna put $10, whatever. Put five people together and just see what happens.
And you didn't tie.
I didn't tie. I turned $10 to $200. So I mean that was something to celebrate over the weekend. Over.
You know, surprisingly, I've actually tied on underdog before. And if you're wondering how I've tied on underdog, you know, they have the rivals.
Oh, what happens when it
voids that part of the parlay. But like if everything else hits, you would then just get like, let's say you did a 3-leg parlay. It would then just be a 2-leg parlay if the other two hit, or if, you know, there's one bust and the whole thing's a bust regardless. Oh. It didn't matter the tie.
So
they just avoid that part.
It's the same thing as putting money on the lines. Could I put money line lines for this game? And because they tied, they just gave my money back. I didn't win or didn't
lose. I didn't think about that because I was thinking about the spread. You know, if it was a spread, if you put the lines, you would obviously win.
Yeah, you obviously win the lines, and they tie, they just give you your money back. So you don't win. You don't win.
I didn't even think about that. But
they
give
my money back. So I was like, all right, that's something. At least I get my money back. Yeah. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this Lions Steelers game. I'm happy for you, Malcolm. You got your first underdog when you deserved it, man. You were on a very cold streak, so I'm very happy. So if Malcolm could do it, you guys could do it. Go use promo code PRIDEPOD.
Yeah, if I can do it, if I could put five people together, man, you can too, man. It's that simple. You could turn $10 to $200. So I mean.
You don't have to make it a five leg either. I mean, you can make it two, three. I mean, Malcolm just felt ballsy.
You can do whatever you want to put on there. Yeah, just put $10.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Lions Steelers. Malcolm, I'm going to ask you, did you rewatch this game?
Yes.
Okay. Now I got a follow-up question to that. Is this the most game you cringed at or a game that you just were the most frustrated at? What's the answer to that?
The answer to that question, the Eagles game was 20 times worse.
Because for me, this game was, we didn't win, we didn't lose, but I still feel like I ended up being the most frustrated after this game, after all of them. And I'm not even trying to, you know, spill into all recency bias. I went back to almost every game, just looked at everything, and even like just watched some highlights of something just to not have a recency bias. I'm like, oh, damn, okay, no, that was actually very bad, and I don't want to relive that. But no, I couldn't do it. The Philly game wasn't enough for me. The San Francisco game, the Chicago game, those games were bad, but yesterday just frustrated me so much because yesterday during that game, I felt like we had a legitimate shot to win the game. And that a team that we were playing against literally tried to hand us a win, and we still couldn't grab it. So that game frustrated me more than any other game this season. And it just ultimately, it's been a while I've been that frustrated with the game, and I didn't think I could be that frustrated with the game this year with my expectations being so low already. But I still found a way to be very, very frustrated with this game. And like I said, this is the most frustrated I've been throughout any game this season.
Why? I mean, I get it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, what you said makes sense. That, you know, this is a game that they definitely had the game handed to them, and they definitely tied it. I can tell you this, though. I actually, after the game, like a little bit after the game, Twitter. I just typed in Steelers Twitter. Twitter on Twitter. I went there. I just wanted to see how they're feeling. And, boy, they were pissed. They are, like, you're disappointed. The Lions fans were disappointed that we tied this game. We're disappointed. They are mad. They're upset, pissed off, and mad. That's how they feel about this game. I guess their mindset is that, you know what, I get it. Big Ben was out. But you still tied with a Lions? Pittsburgh, what are you doing? Malcolm, like they're crushed.
Malcolm, we're 0-8. We're 0-8-1 now. And I'm not just disappointed. I'm mad. I'm actually legitimately I'm legitimately mad from watching that game. That was terrible.
There's so many mixed feelings. There's some people who's actually not mad or disappointed at all. They're looking at this like, oh, you know what? We tied. We can't go 0-17.
That is such a loser's mentality.
I mean, shit. I mean, so, I mean, if you go 1-16, is that just as bad as going 0-16-1?
I don't even care about the record. I'm just going on what we've seen in this game. I don't care what the final record for this Detroit Lions is. I don't care if like I said, if they lost this game from a different reason where Najee Harris was running the ball and the Pittsburgh Steelers were more talented than you and TJ Watt was just destroying your game plan, that is a different thing. The thing that pisses me off that we didn't win this game was we had things going our way and things that were going our way that help you win football games. You had a legitimate running game that was working. You had a defense that was playing well. You had the tools. You had the keys. Everything to win the game. And they didn't win the game because of their coaching staff and their quarterback, which goes in with the coaching staff. But that's why I'm frustrated. Like the other games, we weren't talented enough or we got out coached or something like that. this is just, it was idiotic. I mean, the amount of third down runs, third and long runs that I saw in this game, it's just frustrating, man. It even seemed like an NFL game.
Watching this game, man, you got to kind of go back and watch it with a clear mind. And that's that kind of see what's going on. So I actually went back and watched the game. This game, yeah. I mean, you kind of hit it. It does fall on Dan Campbell. Jared Goff had a lot to do with it as well. I realized something as well. I mean, and you kind of have to look at, like I said, you got to go back and watch tape, watch the game, and you got to do it with a clear mind. The Lions don't pick up blitz as well. When he was being pressured, there was a lot of free rushers going right at him. And that was just the case of guys not picking up the blitzes. And when that happened, all hell broke loose. Regarding that throw that he did to Khalif Raymond, that was just severely underthrown. Evan Brown got pushed to his lap pretty much, which I mean, that's when the injury happened, when he got hurt on that play. So apparently they did the play action. Evan Brown got pushed all the way back to Jared Goff. And I guess when he threw the ball, I guess he, not sure if he hit Evan Brown or whatever, but he got put all the way back to him. And that's what caused the underthrow. So there's a lot of stuff that, yeah, we could just say, yeah, I mean, yeah, Jared Goff completely screwed up that play, but it's a cause and effect. There's a lot of things wrong with this football team offensively. And it boils down to the play calling, the fact that we can't pick a blitz as well, our receivers not getting open downfield, and then Jared Goff. So I think it's a mixture of everything. I'm not there. I'm just saying it's Jared Goff's fault on offense. It's Jared Goff's 100% his fault on offense. I think it's 25-20 all across the board. The whole offense right now is just bad. Passing-wise, it's just bad. Going through with our receivers, quarterback, everything is bad. And then with Campbell keeping him in there, I mean, I know I said that like 20 times in the last episode. I'm still mad about it. I still think that they should have pulled Jared Goff. It just was bad.
Detroit Lions football is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Detroit Lions tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charges, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all the NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you find a better price for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. Visit TickPick.com/PridePodcast today and use promo code PridePodcast to save $10 on your first order of your Detroit Lions tickets.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Malcolm, is it wrong? I know you put in a fair dispute where blame goes everywhere on offense. You said
everywhere.
You said it's a fair distribution. I said if we are, you know, leaning towards more of a problem, how about this? I don't think it's on more of Jared Goff. I think it was more of the game plan itself than Jared Goff himself yesterday, because as bad as Jared Goff was yesterday, they didn't even give him opportunities to even pass the ball past the sticks or pick up a first down. When you run the ball, I think it was 5 times on 3rd and long. I mean, how could I blame the quarterback there? I mean, I know Jared Goff stinks, but I can't blame the quarterback there when they're running the ball 3rd and 9, 3rd and 12, another 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10. I mean, this happened not once, not twice, 5 different times in a ball game. Yeah, I can't blame that on the quarterback.
You can't. And the thing is also, it's like I said, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, the coaching staff just don't trust Jared Goff. The coaching staff don't trust his offense. His offense is just bad, guys. Okay, the offensive line can't pick up blitz as well. Mm-hmm. When Jared Goff gets true, you know all hell breaks loose. Everybody knows that. Our receivers can't get open downfield. Yeah, we're seeing guys, you know, the fourth, fifth option, middle of the field on short yard plays, but down the field, are they open? No, they're not open down the field.
But they're not even giving them the opportunity now anymore. Like, I understand it's been bad, and probably the likely chance of converting on those 3rd and longs, probably very low, because it's not a good offense. Like, we know the talent, but when your coaching staff is not even giving you the chance, and that you think the running game on those 3rd and long situations give you a better shot at the first down, I really question the coaching there. I really do.
It's there's blame to go around for everybody, but the whole offense is just bad. It's every like you, we could say our offensive line played really well as far as, you know, run blocking. You know, we didn't like our offensive linemen. I mean, I know Jonah gave up that one sack, gave up a pressure. Taylor Decker had that one false start.
They played well.
But the thing is with this offensive line is, yeah, they're good at, you know, blocking their assignments. But as soon as they bring that extra guy, we're not picking that guy up. And that guy is coming free every single time. Or they're running a little stunt, and he's just a free rusher. And that's what's messing up Jared Goff. But Jared Goff, I mean, he had his fair share of awful throws.
Yeah.
He tried to do a tight end screen to TJ Hockenson while he was still engaging his block, which almost got picked off. Which, like, that, this is plays like that is just like, come on, Jared Goff, like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah,
but then again, you just see all around, man, just been bad. Like, I have a question right now. I don't know our coach staff. I think right now, though, I think honestly, link has been Anthony Lynn,
the weakest link
out of all of our coaches right now. Like, if there was a coach right now, you think that could possibly lose their job?
I think Anthony Lynn has lost his job already. I mean, isn't it the biggest F you to Anthony Lynn taking the offensive play calling away from a guy who's never called play in his life? That's a big F you to Anthony Lynn, in my opinion. I think he's out of a job after this year, at least.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think, honestly, I think, like, he may not be here next year.
I mean, I think Anthony Lynn has had his fair share of good play calling and his fair share of bad play calling, but it was an interesting decision of Dan Campbell. When Dan Campbell said he was going to get himself more involved in offense, I didn't think he literally meant he was going to take over the play calling. And I said this yesterday, this is not why we hired Dan Campbell. We didn't hire him to call plays. And I'm going to be honest with you. Anthony Lynn, like I said, has had his fair, you know, share of bad calls games. I don't think anything was as bad as what I saw yesterday as far as an offensive game plan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that was bad.
And that's on Dan Campbell. He was calling plays.
It is 100% on Dan Campbell. Now, how much of that was due to, like, Dan Campbell saying it was, like, when I went back, watched the interview, ended on, he said it was pretty much 50-50 as far as Jared Goff being hurt and the weather. And that's why the play calling went the way the play calling went. So, I mean, shit. It was awful game plan. I mean, and as awful of a game plan that was offensively, they still gave us a chance to win.
Do you know why you had a chance to win this game? And this is what pisses me off and how you should have killed the Pittsburgh Steelers. You had so many things working your way. Something the Lions haven't been able to do these first couple weeks is establish a real running game throughout the whole game. Like, they've shown glimpses and moments of a running game. They had a dominant run attack throughout the whole football game until the start of that second half when you're not going to do anything else. Of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to bring everybody and dare you to pass the ball. But the Detroit Lions were still stubborn enough to not pass the ball. And that's what pisses me off. You had a strength. You take the next step and maximize that strength. Maybe run a bootleg. Maybe run a play action. You know, maybe just put Jared Goff in a shotgun. Something else besides what you were doing the whole first half. It's going to work, but it's not sustainable for a whole entire football game. And that's why you didn't win. You didn't lose this football game. It almost seemed like you played not to even win the game. You seemed like you just did not want to lose the game. That's what it seemed to me how the Detroit Lions played the game. They didn't seem like they wanted to win. They just didn't want to lose. Attempt something different. Like I said, it seemed like Dan Campbell was on Madden. He had a set of glitch plays that he thinks he could run off the whole game. And in Madden, yeah, you could do that. And actually, I remember you told me something. You had a franchise. Like, you could even run multiple plays because if there's glitch here or whatever, right? Dan Campbell threw out that rule and said, no, I'm running this play the whole game, whether it works or not. And that could work in Madden. Oh, yeah, I've seen it. It could work in Madden. But yeah,
they even have a new feature in Madden that, like, you can only run certain play. Like you can limit. Like, if you have, like, a franchise, you can limit how many plays a certain player can run the same time. So you could change, you could put it to 5 that they can't run the same the entire game, or 4 or 7. Like, most of my leagues is 5. Offense or defense.
Yeah, I don't think Dan Campbell is Madden 22. I think he's on the old Madden. I think he's on the old Maddens where he's running the one play.
Yeah, so yeah, they make you have to switch it up. But from what Dan Campbell is trying to say is that he took over play calling to try to get deeper shots is what he was. But because of the weather, because of Jared Goff's injury, they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that anymore. So, he said he tried to do it that first. That it looked like it was after. If I can remember correctly, we were watching the game. It was after interception. So they got the interception, and then they immediately went to play action and tried to get Khalif Raymond deep, and that's when Jared Goff got hurt. He got hurt on that play. And then ever since then, the offense just went to shits. It went to running. And the thing is, I mean, when it was working, man, I was loving it. You saw me on Twitter like, yeah, just run. You know, just if it's working, if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know? So yeah. I didn't care.
It was getting broken. That's the point where you have to adjust that point. I agree with you. If it's not, we see it all the time in the NFL, and especially versus the Lions. Opposing teams do this to us all the time. Yeah. They find something that we are not good at, and they will attack that weakness throughout the whole game. And the Lions are just a team that never adjusts throughout the game. So, like, you could keep doing that. The Pittsburgh Steelers obviously adjusted to it. That's why you have to adjust to what they're adjusting to as well. When they're bringing literally everybody, almost the whole fucking defense that we're going to implement and just try to stop this run, why don't you just try a play action? Why don't you go into a shotgun and you know, try a one-on-one with your receivers? I know they're not favorable matchups, but –
yeah,
like
that's the thing, man.
You still have to try it. Like, they didn't try it. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah, that's what's not having a guy that could win a one-on-one matchup on the outside. That's what can do. You don't have nobody that can really win a one-on-one. I mean, you're counting, you know, they're number one receivers. You're counting on Trinity Benson, Khalif Raymond, Kadarius Hodge. These are guys you're counting on right now to win one-on-one matchups.
Among
Ross A. Brown.
Yeah,
so
I understand it's
tough, man. So what happens is that, yeah, they load the box. But what happens is that, yeah, you don't run the ball, but those guys are not just standing there. They're pressuring you. They're going to come after the quarterback. And you're right at that point. You got your outside receiver. They have to win. Or Jared Goff is going to – he's going to turn the ball over. So I think they're more afraid of, you know, Jared Goff is hurt. We don't have nobody to beat. We don't have a receiver that could beat one-on-one coverage right now. Let's just run the ball and not turn the ball over. This is not turn this ball over. How about
that's
we do
not,
this?
That's not a winning mentality, though. That just, like I said, it screams like we just try not to lose the game. We're just going to play the field position. And we're, like, it seemed like that their hope was to only win the game is if the defense forced a pick six. Maybe you got a bad snap, which they did get actually once. They had a bad snap. And like you hope that you're just hoping Pittsburgh makes a mistake before you make a mistake, which. Yeah. I absolutely hate, and that's not acceptable in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, and this is the positive I take from this game. This is the positive I take from this game. And they were out there, the starting quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger was not there. They had still held the Pittsburgh Steelers to 16 points, which is what they gave them. He gave up one touchdown.
Yeah.
And they kicked three field goals. Yeah. So that's a hell of a job for our defense. I don't care. If it is the backup quarterback, our Lions defense in the past, no matter who's back there, lit us up and did whatever they wanted to do, and just they're able to control the game. But we were able, even without Ben Roethlisberger, this is still a solid Pittsburgh Steelers team. I mean, they have a dynamic running back. They still have a guy that can stretch the field and beat you deep. Yep. And no matter who we had out there, we still did a really good job. We forced turnovers. One thing we didn't really pressure
Rudolph.
Yeah, we didn't pressure Rudolph. We didn't get any sacks. So that was one thing. They did pressure him because, you know, they forced him out of pocket, made him run. But they didn't get after him. They didn't get any sacks. That's something that they have to fix. You know, we need to get guys. Because if we were rushing four, because they mainly rush four, rush three, and there's something, you know, they blitz. But you got to win those matchups, man. If you're just going to rush four, you got to win the matchups. You can't just give the guy time in the pocket like that.
Yeah.
But they still did a good job. I think the defense, yeah. I tip my hat out to the defense. The defense played as well as they could have been. They played well. And they gave us a chance. The defense gave us a chance to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, they gave the touchdown up in the first possession of the football game. And then other than that, you know, they forced stops, field goal attempts, and that was really about it. So they did a good job, most definitely.
Two of them were in the red zone. Two stops were in the red zone.
Yeah, and I give a lot of credit to the defensive back group, because that was a position that we had a lot of questions about coming into the season, and had a lot of questions even throughout the first month of the season. And I think these guys slowly but surely are kind of coming to their own a little bit and are coming legitimate NFL corners. I'm not saying they're stars, but I think they look like guys who could star or guys who deserve to be on a football team. And I'm going to give a credit to Amani Orowarie, who made a lot of hell of a plays in that football game. Jerry Jacobs, when he was healthy, made a lot of hell of a plays. And then someone else, former Pittsburgh Steeler practice squad player, got beat on a play, but his hustle and, you know, forcing a fumble really impressed me. Mark Gilbert, man, you know, that was a guy that was kind of thrown into a situation that, you know, not many people would feel very confident about if he was thrown into the game. And I thought, you know, there was moments where he wasn't great, obviously, like he gave up the big play, but then, you know, he comes back, puts his head down, and he forces a fumble. He punched that ball right out of Deontay Johnson's hand.
That was the same play. That's the effort. That was great effort. That was the same exact play. So he gave up a big pass. And he never gave up on the play. And he punched the ball out.
Yeah, puts his head down, runs towards Deontay Johnson, and grabs that big Justin Coleman fist, punches that boy out, and forces a fumble. And Lions, Lions get the ball back, and he gave them a shot to win the game again.
Yeah, defense. So. You know, even Will Harris. What, Will Harris? Yeah, Will Harris. He gave us the ball with like 8 seconds, but still. I mean, it's still a play made by Will Harris. What Aaron Glenn has done with his defense has been phenomenal, man.
You know, Aaron Glenn has been he's been a positive factor. And you asked the question of who's been the weak link of the coaching staff. I would say the biggest positive has been Aaron Glenn so far this season. I think he's been really good for this team. You know, he's not really working with much talent. And you know, we use the talent thing, I think, an excuse for too many things. Like, I understand it's a very valid excuse because I understand this talent is not good on this football team. But
yes,
Aaron Glenn kind of throws that out the window. It doesn't matter who he's playing offensively. You know, he's going to put a legitimate defensive game plan most weeks, and he's going to give your team a chance to win the game. And I think that's just very positive and optimistic going forward. Is like, if we could get some guys on this defense and – you know, when we have a legitimate offense, it gives you some positive and like some optimism is like, you know, we have something going forward that we could build off. Aaron Glenn is doing this with not much talent right now. What could he do when he gets more talent throughout the draft or in free agency? And these guys that he has on his team, you know, get more experience and come better NFL players. Like, what is he going to start doing with those guys when his players start to get better? Because what he's doing with the talent he has right now is truly unbelievable, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely, man. And another shout out goes to Arby Pleasant, man. He's another guy.
Whole defensive staff, man.
All of them been really, really great, man. Yeah. That's very positive, man. The bad part with this team so far has been, I guess, the questionable calls made by Dan Campbell and Anthony Lynn, man. And Anthony Lynn was always, I mean, even though I did rave about coaching staff, he was one guy that was a little shaky to me.
Yeah.
You look at his resume, you just say, what has he really done? I mean, I know people are saying, oh, look what he did to Justin Herbert. Was he even the play caller for the Chargers last year? Or did they rely on did they give it to the OC?
I'm trying to think. I don't know who they're. I think it was their OC, if I'm not mistaken. But I think Lynn had a you know, a say.
He was the coach. The head coaching. He did the head coaching duties.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, when he came in, a lot of people are saying that he attributed a lot of success for Justin Herbert.
I think Justin Herbert's just a unicorn.
Yeah, man. I don't put none of that on Anthony Lynn. So I mean, you look at it, it's like, oh man, like, but. I still have faith in these guys. I mean, I think Anthony Lynn just needs to get it together. I think some, you know, in the beginning of the year, I think the personnel was awful on some plays. Like, he didn't know who to have in at certain packages. Some plays we'll see Swift on 31s. Like, what are you doing when you have Jamal Williams? It's like, this stuff like that, it was just crazy to me. So, I don't know.
I have one thing I like about Dan Campbell's offense, literally one thing I could pull out, and I just thought of this randomly because you brought up the third and shorts. We finally ran the ball on fourth and one.
Yeah, they started doing that after they realizing that passing on fourth and one is not a good idea or passing on third and one is not a good idea. It's starting to click,
yeah.
You know?
Well, that's one thing I could take away, that was a positive from offense. That's about it.
Yeah. I mean, we all like the going for it on fourth down. I mean, sometimes it's just, I mean, he does I think he's leading the league in going for it and fourth down.
I think us in Kansas City are like the top two teams in fourth down right now.
That's insane. I mean, hell, I mean, if it works, man, we get it. It's all good, man. I get it. Well,
to be fair, a lot of them are, like you said, are like just gutsy play calling, but a lot of the other ones are, just we are so down in games and we're just, you know, it's garbage time and it's some situations gets the fourth down and it's like, okay, you're obviously gonna go for it. It's a no-brainer, right? If you get it, you keep the drive going. If you don't get it, it's over.
Some of them are kind of scary.
A lot of them are scary. I don't agree with most of them, honestly.
Some of them we're on our own side of the field.
Yeah, like, we'll be on our own
35 and he'll go for it. He'll go for it. So those are the scary ones. Like, oh man, like we don't get, like they're already in field goal range. This is not good.
Yeah,
no, we're only down by like seven. You know,
yeah. That was a sense game. I always use the term: there's aggressive and there's reckless. That to me is reckless.
Yeah.
Like I understand people love like everyone always says, oh, I love aggressive coaches. You always got to put you always got to keep your foot on the gas pedal. I understand it. I love the cliche, but like. Dan Campbell literally means that, and I don't know how comfortable I'm with that.
I mean, shoot, if we have like a really good offense and, you know, we have a high chance of converting those, I don't mind it.
But we don't.
Yeah, we don't.
But like, hey. The only team that can get away with that, and I guess I can't really say that this year, but like the Kansas City Chiefs, there's a reason why they're the second leading team on fourth down because – they have the firepower to convert on fourth downs, and it's just a different story. When you're the Detroit Lions and you have this personnel, I don't know how wise of an idea if it is. Yesterday, I didn't mind it. I mean, yesterday was a good idea. It was fourth and one. I don't remember what the exact score of the game was, but I remember it made sense to go for it. It was too far for a field goal, and too close for a punt. So, like, in that situation, it made sense to go for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And your run game was working.
Yeah, you don't want to give Ryan Santoso no more kicks, at least as possible. Yeah. I'm shocked that he's still on this team, right? I'm surprised they didn't cut him. Yeah, he's still here.
They actually asked Dan Campbell about that question, and yeah. he said that they're going to bring in kickers this week to compete with Ryan Santoso. So
who the hell is out there?
I heard some names. I heard like Mike Nugent. Who else was out there?
That's a name.
Let me see. I'm going to look this out for you really quickly.
Yeah, who's out there? I mean, we had Zingas on.
He's playing well right now in Carolina. He's the Carolina starting kicker.
He's playing well.
And so is Randy Bullock in Tennessee. He's playing really well right now for the Titans.
I watched him miss a 40-yarder.
Oh, did he? Okay. he's one of the top. He's one of the top fantasy kickers this year.
Ryan Bullock?
Yeah.
Randy Bullock. My bad. It's probably because when they had, I mean, they score a lot of touchdowns and they're always in field goal range. So,
all right, let's look at kicker. I can't believe I'm actually looking at this right now. Let's look into kickers right now, boys.
Yeah, this is bad because Austin Seibert is IR, which I just found out earlier today.
Yeah.
Did you know he? Well, you knew he was on IR.
Yeah, he messed up his hip.
You knew going to the game he was on IR?
Yeah, they placed him on Saturday or Friday.
I didn't even know that. I was like, oh, he has a little hip injury. He'll be right back. And Ryan Santoso is just playing for this game.
No.
I didn't know, like, this is it for Ryan. This is it for, like, I didn't know, like, they were, like, making Ryan our kicker.
So, you know, I just thought of, I don't think he's on their active roster. Can't we technically, I don't know if he's one, because they have that protection thing on practice squad, but the guy from Baltimore, Jake Verity, remember that was a name that a lot of Lions fans wanted when he got waived? Yeah. I think the Lions could technically, if the Ravens don't have him protected, I don't know if they do or not. I think the Lions could technically sign him off the Baltimore Ravens practice squad. I think that's a possibility.
That's a hope.
Another name I got for you, Cody Parkey.
Cody Parkey. No, man.
Double doink.
Double doink. Oh, hell no. There's a reason why he's unemployed, man.
I mean, I would take Cody Parkey right now. I don't think I'd take Santoso. I don't think I ever played
over Santoso. Over Santoso. Hell yeah. Bro, that was the worst kick I ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I'll take Cody Parkey over. At least Parkey could hit the upright.
I've never seen a kick like that ever. Like, he should have immediately faked an injury. He should have, after he kicked that ball, he should have held his hamstring and just fell to the ground and just been like, I'm hurt. And that's why that ball looked like that. That was the worst kick I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, no, they're going to bring in some guys. I would assume Cody Parkey's probably going to be on this list. I mean, he has experience. He's been on multiple different NFL teams. I would expect Cody Parkey's going to be on this list of a workout candidate.
This is the worst case scenario for any Lions fan, bro. Not only are we 0-8-1, not only are we 0-8-1, but now we're going through a kicking search?
We're talking about Cody, a kicker? We're talking about Cody Parkey being the best upgrade we have right now.
We're talking about double doink Cody Parkey. Really?
Cody Parkey, I don't know if you remember, when we played him in 2018, the Bears beat us in this game. They killed this boy. I think he hit an upright. He hit an upright in that game well versus the Lions.
That was a year. That was the year everybody was just kicking, hitting the pole for just no reason at Ford Field.
That wasn't even at Ford Field. It was at Soldier Field. But yeah, I remember at Ford Field, yeah, everyone was hitting the upright that year.
Yeah, they were just doing it on purpose. Like, all right. They were like, all right, upright. And they'll just nail the upright. Like every single kicker.
Mason Crossbar hit four of them, I think, that game.
Bro, I don't know what was going on that year, but nobody was just making field goals.
Yeah,
but no, this is bad, man. This is bad. Now we don't have a kicker, and going through a kicking search mid-season, when your team is already bad, it's just awful. We're going to have more games like this where, oh, man, we lost by a point. We could have won if we would have kicked that. If we would have made that extra point. Or, man, we could have won if we would have made that goal or 29-yard field goal. It's gonna come down to this.
You know what this is? We as Curse Lions, of Bobby Lane? No, this is something different now.
This is not the curse of Bobby Lane.
This is a different curse now, because Lions fans, the Lions organization, have been fortunate with two very good kickers for a very long time, Jason Hansen and Matt Prater. Fortunate, we won so many games off their legs, right? Not that the Lions won many games in history, but they won a lot of games from those guys' legs. They were all reliable. We could always count on them. we are now in a season where we have lost the Baltimore game, the Minnesota game, and now the Pittsburgh game. We've lost three games because of a kicker. Justin Tucker kicking a 66-yarder for the longest field goal in NFL history, breaking Matt Prater's record. Greg Joseph hitting a 51 or 50-plus yarder field goal for game when it was short on 40-something. And then Ryan Santoso having maybe the ugliest kick in NFL history.
the ugliest kick. That oh, man. That's like a record. That was a record of, like, the ugliest kick ever.
Malcolm, I'm just curious. What was your confidence when they sent out Santoso? Like, I understand it was the right decision. They had to send out Santoso, but I wasn't confident when they sent him out.
You wasn't confident?
I mean,
yeah, because he just missed extra. He missed an extra point. And if he would have missed it wide right, I'd be like, damn it, you know. But the way he missed that field goal, there's no excuse for that. Yeah, no, they didn't have an excuse for that. He was like, yeah. They came and said, yeah, it was the snap was good, the hold was good, and that was it.
Yeah, no,
that was good after that.
No, it's just like I had that gut feeling. I'm like, we're not winning this game. We're not going to win this game. Like, we're not going to win off this game because of Ryan Santoso.
I was confident, man. It was a, what, 39-yarder? It was 39-yarder?
No, it was like 49-yard
field goal. I told you, I had my daughter out here. My daughter was out here. She was like, oh, what's going on? I was like, baby, we're tied, but we're about to win this game. This is it. This is it for us. We're not going 0-17 now. This is it. And see, she saw it. And then she just said, ha. I just went in the room. My daughter hates on me for everything. She, like, whenever the Lions lose, she's like, oh, how did the Lions do? I'm like, you already know. And she's like, ah. And she'll just go in the room.
See, if it was 39 yards, I think I would have confidence in the kick. But since it was 49, I'm like,
No. After seeing that kick, I have no confidence in making
it. No. Now I'm saying in the moment, if it was 39 yards, I would have felt fine. I think Chris Myers bringing up that damn stat that Ryan Santoso's long career field goal is 35 yards. I think that him bringing up 6-plus times, I think, just in that drive alone, I think I lost all confidence.
Like, honestly, like, even if they would have, like, got the ball back in field goal range, it had it came down to Ryan Santoso to kick the field goal, I would just turn the TV off. I would just have known that it just wasn't going to go in.
Yeah. You know, it's something else I didn't think about until I rewatched the game and I just rewatched the ending of the game. This is hindsight's 2020 because I can't blame Dan Campbell this because I didn't see this personally. So, I mean, you could maybe say otherwise that he's the coach and he should have noticed this. But I'm just curious, not that it had any effect on the game, but on third down, we see around the NFL, when you have a situation like that, when it's you go to the, you know, you're going to win the game or you go to overtime if you miss it, right? In that situation, we see a lot of times in the NFL on third down, teams will kick the field goal just in case of a bad snap. You could just, you know, get on the ball. And especially in those weather conditions, the Lions didn't do that. Were you concerned in that moment, or did you even notice that until now?
I just noticed that. I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize that until I rewatched the game. I didn't realize it in the moment, but I realized it afterwards. I'm like, that is interesting because usually a lot of NFL teams like to have the extra opportunity just in case, you know, a bad snap or, you know, just something goes wrong where you don't even have the attempt to kick the ball. And, you know, especially those weather conditions. So a bad snap was, you know, it was very realistic and on the line, but they didn't do that. They try to get more yards. You know, what would your approach be personally in that situation?
Man, I don't even know, man. I probably would have just did it the same thing, man, to be honest with you, bro.
Just do it. I try to get more yards and just rely on fourth down.
Yeah. I don't know. That's tough.
I didn't think about it in the moment, so I'm not going to be too critical on it because that's just hindsight's 2020. But, like, you know, maybe as a coach of the NFL team, you know the situation a little bit more. I'm curious if we'll ever know that answer. I'm curious if some of a media member will ask that question or something like that. Is like, did Dan Campbell even have any considerations kicking the field goal on third down just in case of a bad snap or something like that? But I don't know. I mean, regardless, it wouldn't matter. It was a good snap. Everything was in place for the game when he kicked. Santoso missed it regardless. So it wasn't like we had a bad snap. And, you know, I think if there was a bad snap, I think then there would be a lot of criticism toward Dan Campbell's way. It's like, oh, how do you not kick it on third down? And a lot of yada, but since it didn't really come into play because the kick was so bad and it wasn't anything with the snap, I think that's why almost everyone essentially forgot about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, think of it this way. If if he would have went for, if he would have kicked it on third and they would have missed it, he would have got the same criticism. He would have probably gotten even more criticism
for not trying
to get more yards because of the conditions, because of having Ryan Santoso. I mean, I think it's like a one of those situations, damn if you do or damn if you don't.
Yeah. No, I think you're right there. So I don't really care about it all that much, honestly. But I thought it was interesting because I think we've seen the NFL. A lot of teams will kick it on third down instead.
Yeah, I mean, the only way that would be safe, a safe situation, if they were like in the 10-yard line.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really think about it at the time, and I don't really think of it too much of it now. But I was just curious to hear your thoughts on that because I thought it was interesting because I'm like, you know, that is interesting. I'm like, the Lions didn't even, you know, attempt at the field goal on third down. It was just, you know, they put all their eggs in the basket on fourth down. And
yeah, Matt Prater, you do it. 100%. Yeah,
on third down, right?
On third down, 100%. Yeah, you do it, Matt Prater.
I agree.
Yeah, or any reliable kicker, you do it. But
I agree.
Santoso.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm not going to be too hard on it because I didn't think it was ultimately too much of a bad decision, but I did think it was an interesting one. So, all right, let's get into our Oops Doopsie and Baller of the Week. And we can do that. So I'm going to kick it off to you, Malcolm. This is the honor's yours this week. Who's the Baller of the Week?
I didn't even think about this because I was expecting Pierre to be here today to do this. So who am I going to give it to?
I think you got some options.
I do.
Not like the Philly game.
All right. So, I mean, let's see. You know what? I want to go offense with this.
Oh, and no.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. Should I go defense with this?
Don't take an offensive player, please. I know this is not my segment, but don't take an offensive player.
Take an offensive player?
Don't take an offensive player. That is the biggest disrespect to the defense, and what that offense showed on Sunday does not deserve a Baller of the Week. I don't care if DeAndre Swift ran all over. I don't care.
I wasn't even going to say that. You know what? I'm going to give honorable mention, and that's going to be that person in the offense. But I'll say, you know.
You're going to give it to Matt Nelson, aren't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I wasn't.
Continue.
Because the thing is with the defense, I think they all played so well. It's hard for me just to pick one person on defense. If there was one person that would have to give it to on defense, I mean, it's really hard to pick one person on defense.
It doesn't have to be one player. It could be a unit.
Yeah, I mean the defensive unit. All right, I want to give a shout out to the whole defensive unit for holding up us to even be in this game, for you know, making the Pittsburgh Steelers only put up 16 points, one touchdown, three field goals, stopping them twice inside your own five in the 10-yard line. Inside the 10-yard line, you stop them twice to make them kick two field goals. I think they did a really hell of a job. So that's why it was really hard for me to just pick one person. You know, it's easy to say, you know, Julian Okora or you know, Amani Awori with his PBUs. You know, Jerry Jacobs played a hell of a job. He had a hell of a job, even though that he was out in the third quarter. You know, the whole defense played well. Now, as far as the guy on offense I want to give it to is Godwin Ikubuke. And the reason why is, I mean, even on special teams, he played really – he did his job. He came in on offense – those few plays, and he balled out for those few plays that he had. So I want to give a shout out to Godwin Ikubuke.
What's his nickname?
The safety from Northwest.
The former safety from safety, Northwestern. Yeah.
The former safety from Northwestern.
Look at the former safety from Northwestern making plays, dude. I felt like a proud dad watching Godwin Ikubuke ball out.
Yo,
I heard a proud dad saying his name.
Yeah, I heard that he blacked out when he scored that touchdown. That's what they said. They said that they were trying to get his reaction, and he said, I guess he said he blacked out. that was awesome. It was a 42-yard run that he had, and that's the longest run that we had in probably forever. So that was promising, man. I like what the running backs. I think we have a good group of guys, and even though that some of these guys are banged up, there's a guy in our practice squad that I think is really well. He's really good too. That, you know, if these guys can't go, he could get called up.
Talk about Craig Reynolds.
Yep, the preseason super
Netflix.
Netflix. He ain't Netflix no more. He's been practicing the whole time. Yeah. Hopefully he's actually practicing because Ryan Santoso was practicing. I thought he was practicing, and we saw what the hell he did, you know, Sunday. We saw that.
I thought David Blau was practicing too. Well, we don't know that because they don't even display him.
And this is crazy because I haven't seen what he can do this year. We saw a minimum of what he could do. I mean, it was bad.
No, I saw something else this Sunday. He won us a coin toss in overtime.
He did win us a coin toss in overtime. That is true. That is 100% facts.
That is showing captain ability right there.
But for them to not even put this guy in when you're limiting yourself on offense is bad. It's a bad look for David Blau.
Yeah. I don't want to get too much in that because we did that a lot on our last episode. So it's like, I don't want to talk about that too much. But like, I agree 100% with you. I just don't understand how we got to that point where you just didn't even try it when you took out essentially half the playbook and just stuck to just the run. I don't understand how you could go to a guy. Like, how bad is David Blau in your eyes that you couldn't even trust him with some of the playbook? You know, just to open up a little bit where the Steelers actually have some type of thought that you might actually be passing the ball. Because with Jared Goff out there, there was no thought at all that we're going to pass the ball. And if it was, it was going to be a screen pass that wasn't going anything more than 2 yards.
And, I mean, is this a clear indication of, you know, where they see him on the depth chart? I honestly feel like when Tim Boyle comes back, he's going to be QB2. And David Blau is probably going to be either QB3 or probably not even on this team.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think even throughout the preseason, I mean, Tim Boyle was always getting the second team reps. And he was always the guy to relieve Jared Goff whenever, you know, when Goff was out of the game. It was always Tim Boyle. So I feel like you are right. I feel like they have more trust in Tim Boyle. I don't know. I mean, just from what we watched in the preseason, which – you know, these guys obviously have a better, more looks than we do because we only got to see 3 games of these guys. I didn't really see much of a difference. So if it's that much of a difference where they have faith in that guy, then I don't know. I don't see a huge significant difference between the two, honestly. I think they were very similar. And if anything, I thought Blau was better, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, he's in there with third and fourth.
Yeah, he was playing versus worst competition.
Way worse.
Which is fair. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't see much of like a difference though, I guess.
Yeah.
Didn't impress me.
Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen because I know Dan Campbell today said that Jared Goff was being checked out. There's a big chance that he's going to show up on the injury report. So I want to see how they handle that and how his reps are going to be and if he's able to play.
Yeah. Which we'll talk about in our next episode when we break down the Cleveland Browns. So.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, man, just go to your oopsie doopsie of the week. I know this is probably going to be hard for you, but.
Oh, boo-hoo. Let me play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
Yeah. No, yeah, my oopsie doopsie, very tough. I'm not giving it to Jared Goff. I'm sorry. I think everyone
expected you don't apologize. You don't apologize.
It's just, I'm going to be careful with my words right here. It's coming more difficult to defend Dan Campbell. It really is. Because there's just so many questionable things that are happening throughout the week. I'm just questioning it. And I'm being patient with this whole thing because the roster stinks. I'm going to be patient with Dan Campbell. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But as far as just Sunday's game versus Steelers, I have no excuse for that. I can't look a different way. I can't give him any benefit of the doubt. Terrible. Everything was terrible about that, about Dan Campbell and the execution of the game. I hated the game plan so much. Like I said, it just seemed like it was a type of game where they just tried not to lose. And that's just not a winner's mentality to me. And that's not the mentality that Dan Campbell gave me when we hired him or that press conference where he says, you know, we're going to bite kneecaps. We're going to be a team that, are, you know, teams that are scared of. He didn't give me that vibe on Sunday. It was actually the complete opposite. So my oopsie doopsie of the week is Dan Campbell. And I want to say this. Like I said, I'm not out on Dan Campbell. I'm just saying it is tougher to defend Dan Campbell from what we saw on Sunday. Is there time to correct that? Most definitely. There's a lot of time to correct that. And he's going to get this year. And he's going to get next year. So I want to see improvements. But yesterday was a couple steps backwards from what we've seen in some previous weeks, and I want to see Dan Campbell kind of get back to his roots and get back to the things that I was liking about him earlier in the season, because on Sunday versus Steelers was unacceptable to me. I'm going to give him the pass, but still going to earn the oopsie doopsie of the week. But I'm going to give him the pass. I'm not going to call for his job or anything like that. But I just want to see something different because, like I said, that was unacceptable to me. So Dan Campbell is the oopsie doopsie of the week.
Let me ask you a question. If he continues to play call, would you feel differently about him and this regime?
If Dan Campbell continues to play call and calls a game like that?
I don't expect it to be called like that, but continues to call the plays.
The thing is, we didn't hire Dan Campbell to be a play caller.
Yeah, we didn't.
Like that wasn't my thoughts when we hired Dan Campbell. I didn't think of Dan Campbell as some mastermind X and O's type of guy. But that was the exact definition. I said he's not an X and O's type of guy. He's gonna be here to coach you a game. That's gonna be his job. That's what I'm gonna be judging him on. I'm not gonna be judging him on his offense because he doesn't have an offensive scheme.
Yeah, I'll say this though. You know what? I'll say this. It takes a lot of guts to do that. And the reason why I say that is because he knows the offense was struggling.
He did.
He knows the offense was struggling. So he, you know, as a head coach, he said that he wants to make it work. So I get that. I think honestly, and this is like this bringing up the past, which I don't really like doing. But if Jim Caldwell would have did that, he probably would have had success as a head coach. Mm-hmm. If Jim Caldwell would have said, our offense is struggling, when our offense was struggling, let me take over play calling because he showed in the past he's a hell of a play caller. Yeah. I mean, we saw what he did to Joe Flacco. So if he would have did that, he probably would still be here right now. And we wouldn't probably be having this conversation. Yeah. But for Dan Campbell to do that, he sees our offense struggling. He's not going to fire him. This is his first year. He's not going to fire Anthony Lynn. But he's telling Anthony Lynn, like, look, I mean, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. He's looking at the numbers. He's seeing the percentages. He sees everything, you know? So he wants to see maybe if he could do a better job to get the offense rolling. So that takes guts.
It does, and I respect him for it because a lot of coaches, especially today's NFL, you saw just with the last regime, with Matt Patricia, like, you know, he's obviously – he has a scheme and he has his X and O's. Like, he's known for that, right? I'm not saying he was good at it, but like that was like his calling card, right? It's like he knows how to call defense. He knows schematically what to do, but that's not Dan Campbell's.
Does he?
I'm saying like that's what he was known as, right? Like when we hired him, right? Like he has a defensive scheme. So if Matt Patricia said, I'm going to step in, I'm going to start calling defensive plays, I wouldn't question it as much. But since Dan Campbell is never had experience or in history with it, that's why I question it. You know, like if we had Robert Saleh right now and he wants to kind of step in with the defense and be a defensive coordinator, that's fine. I'm okay with the head coach stepping into that role of being an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, whatever your specialty is. But the thing is, that's not Dan Campbell's thing. Like, he's never been a play caller. He's never called play. So it's like, I don't know how I feel about that. It's like, a guy with zero experience is now going to be our offensive coordinator. And what I saw on Sunday, the experience showed. The experience definitely showed that he never called plays.
Yeah, it did. I mean, maybe him being around Sean Payton, and that's what Sean Payton does. Maybe that's what gave him the idea of maybe I should take control of the offense and try to, you know, try to find some type of momentum. So to try to get something rolling because, I mean, he went in a bye week and he looked at everything.
Yeah,
he there's no way he looked at offense and said this offense is okay. He knows his offense has been terrible.
And I'm okay with him dabbling and trying to suggest things to like Anthony Lynn and the offensive staff to try to fix it. But like as far as the primary play caller, I don't. That's not why we hired Dan Campbell. I don't like that idea.
This to honestly, man. I mean, this year's a wash to me. It's a wash to everybody. Everybody knows that this year's over. Where are we going this year? Nowhere. Mm-hmm. I don't mind if he tries shit out this year just to see what happens. If he wants to get some experience as a play calling this year, go for it. To be honest with you, go for it. I don't care because what is this year going to take us? Is he going to be really that much worse than Anthony Lynn? Last week, if you go by last week, you're going to say yes. But I wouldn't mind seeing another week of Dan Campbell calling plays. Like next week, I want to see how next week is. Like next week,
we're gonna get another week.
Yeah, if there's no, you know, if our quarterback is okay, and there's no weather issues, as they were saying, it was a reason for that. then I want to see how Dan Campbell calls the plays. I want to be mad at it because Anthony Lynn, he hasn't showed anything. I mean, how many first quarters have we seen Anthony Lynn that we haven't put up any points?
First halves. Yeah.
It just hasn't been good. I mean, they need to change up. And they're not going to fire Anthony Lynn right now.
No, I understand.
It's something that could probably happen in the offseason, but yeah. They need something. Somebody has to. And whether it's Dan Campbell or – no, they can't have the quarterback coach call plays because that's just like firing – what's his name?
That's even a bigger F you to Anthony Lynn.
That's a bigger F you. So you can't even do that.
Mark Brunell?
Yeah, if you put Mark Brunell, yeah, that's a huge F you. So, yeah, Dan Campbell probably has to do it right now.
Yeah. Now, like, I don't know, man. I understand experimenting. And like I said, I respect Dan Campbell trying to step in and switch it up because obviously things are not working. He wants to try something else that, you know, maybe results into a different thing. I understand that. And a lot of coaches, like I said, are scared to do that these days because, you know, if it doesn't work, their name is behind it now. And that they don't have the scapegoat anymore. And that was something Patricia and you mentioned Caldwell. They always had a scapegoat if something wasn't working well and they didn't want to put their name behind it just in case if it doesn't work because, you know, this league is a performance-based league. And if your team is not performing and your name is behind it, you're out the doors. So yeah. I do respect Dan Campbell putting his name and saying, I am the play caller and I'm going to, you know, dabble with this offense and my name is behind it. Not Anthony Lynn, not Mark Brunell or whoever. My name is behind it. So I do respect him like that because, like I said, a lot of coaches stay away from that, even if they are mastermind play callers. You mentioned Jim Caldwell. I don't think Jim Caldwell is some mastermind play caller, but you mentioned it. You know, he's done some wonders with Joe Flacco, and he's had a good pass. So he could have done that and maybe could have revived that Lions team a little bit more than it was. I think Kyle Shanahan, to a certain degree, with the Niners, I think he's a mastermind. And, you know, when he starts to, you know, call plays and, you know, coaches are very scared to put their name behind it. So I do respect Dan Campbell doing that.
Yeah, and he was honest with it. Like, we've seen coaches in the past, Adam Gase, who, when they took over, didn't want the media to know that he took over.
They always reflected to somebody else.
Yeah, they didn't want the media to know that he took over. Like, it was a big thing with the Jets last year on who was calling plays. And the press conference were hilarious because it was like, they're like, so Adam, were you calling plays? He was like, I'm calling them sometimes.
Yeah.
They're like, so you're calling plays? He's like, sometimes. And sometimes he's calling plays.
I remember that. That was a mess of a situation. And that was even a question we had last year with Matt Patricia. It was like, we used to ask every single player that we used to hop on, who's calling plays? Like, yeah, who the hell is calling plays?
Who is doing this?
Is this Corey? Is it Patricia? Who is it?
Who is the cover one monster here? Who's making you guys run so much? Who's doing this to y'all?
Was it Paul in years previous? Like, who was it? And Patricia, until the very end, didn't put his name to it. Until the very, very end, he didn't put his name to it.
It wasn't until they said, look, you're about to get fired.
And
I'll take over.
And, like, I'll say this. I think Patricia was always the play caller, secretly.
It wasn't that he was a play caller, but he was like playing a video game.
Yeah.
He wasn't like on the team, but he was a guy controlling the team. Like he was pressing B, A. He pretty much told them, look, you guys are going to run man coverage. You guys are going to run cover one. And that was it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And he goes, I'm not calling them. I'm not calling them.
Not calling them, but you're calling them. But we're going to run cover one.
But Patricia's game plan, you know, it's like in Madden, he literally put recent plays and it's like that one play only. He goes, you're running this. And that's it. But I'm not calling the play. So you can click A, B, or Y. It doesn't matter. It's not on me. But this is your play sheet.
This is your play sheet. He gave him the play sheet, and it's like cover one all across, like
cover
all
one,
the way
cover
down.
One, cover one, cover
nickel,
one.
Cover one, dime, cover one, base formation, cover one. Everything was just cover one. Yeah. They have no other plays.
You could choose out one of these threes: A, B, X, or Y. That's all you got.
You can switch your formations, but damn it, you're still running cover one. Doesn't matter what formation you're in, cover one.
And I did not call the play, so this is on you, Corey.
Yeah, so you gotta figure this out. You know, here's a playbook, all cover one, but you know, I'm not calling the plays.
Yeah. So I, like I said, I respect Dan Campbell for stepping in and putting his name behind it, even though it was a terrible game plan and one of the worst game plans I've ever seen. But I respect him for having the cojones to put his name in front of the media.
Hey, I mean, as a Lion fan that's been wishing for a running game, it was fun while it lasted. And I hope we continue to see a running game. I'm not saying like that, like you completely abandoning the passing game. I'm not saying that, but just having a running game, seeing, I mean, honestly, when has the Lions rushed for 200 yards in a running in a game before? When was like the last time we did that?
I don't know, but something I'll say on that, it's like, that's great. Use the running game. Use it to a strength, not your only ability on offense. You know, Matt, open up the playbook, because when you have a running game like that, we always say it's your quarterback's best friend. Open up the playbook for your quarterback when you have a running game like that, because defenses are on their toes when you have a running game like that, because you could do so many different things because they're scared that you're going to run the ball down their throats if, you know, if the way that you're running it. So you have so many different scenarios that you could have done when you have a running game like that. But it was like a, I don't know if it was an arrogance or just scared or whatever it was. They didn't want to adjust and switch it up. It was just, we're going to run this play and that's about it.
They won't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Which they just didn't want to turn the ball over.
It's playing not to lose, which is not okay.
Yeah.
If you're up, like if you're up in the game, that's fine. But you know, when it went to the tie ball game, you're playing to win the game. That's not okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was a tie game. We tied.
Yeah. I hate
it's ties. A tie.
I hate ties.
I don't like ties either, man. It sucks. It's a sucky feeling because you didn't win. And you, when you have a tie, you know you kind of should have won.
Do you have a scenario that the NFL can maybe do to eliminate ties?
Yeah, keep it like do it like college.
Start on like the 30-yard line or 40, wherever.
Yeah, I'll say if they, you know, they'll have an overtime.
By 10
minutes. And if it's tied still, after the timer, was it 5 minutes of overtime?
10 minutes.
So after the 10 minutes of overtime, and if it's still tied, then you go right to college rule. You go right to college sudden death, where it's like you start off on the 30, and whoever don't score loses the game.
You know what I don't understand either? Why is it 10 minutes and not 15 minutes in overtime? Like, I understand they always say player safety and player safety, right?
I think every league is like that. Every league is like shorter time limit in overtime.
Yeah, I understand that. But, like, in other leagues, there's more to it if they're, you know, if it's not – the result's not done. Like, in NBA, you go to another overtime. Or in the NHL, you go to a shootout. Or the MLB, you just keep going. You keep on rolling. But in the NFL, it's only 10 minutes, and then there's a tie at the end. I don't understand why they just play 15 minutes. They say player safety, but then they had a 17th game.
I mean, even if it's 15 minutes, well, if it's still a tie, what, you know?
Yeah, but, like, at least there's more time to maybe figure it out.
Yeah. They don't want the players to do all that. I think the best answer is just go college rules, bro.
I have a solution. I think it would be fascinating. Not in this game, because it would have kicked us in the ass.
What, you talking about a kickoff?
Kicking competition.
Kicking competition. Hell to the no. Hell to the no. No, come on.
That emphasizes you have to have a legit kicker on your team. You can't bullshit it. A kicking competition would be
so it'll be like, so, I guess the way you have it will be like, what? They start from the 20, and then the other team go from 20, and then they go to 30.
You keep going back. 10 yards, yes.
Like, that's going to suck because, like, you got to think about it this way. The first one that gets to 60 yards is going to probably lose the game.
Let's say you make the cap 55. You start off on the 20, and everyone's just hitting all their shots, so you get to the 55. And then
you start over?
55. No. 55 is it.
You just keep kicking
until 55.
That'll be interesting.
Or how about this? You can kick 3 field goals from the 50-yard line. Whoever makes the most field goals, if they're tied, you keep going.
Yeah.
That would be electric.
That would be interesting.
That'd be like a shootout. Yeah, it's like a hockey shootout or
a
penalty kicks in soccer. That would be amazing. And it puts more emphasis on kickers in the NFL.
Yeah, it'll give them – they would have to make more money probably.
So it's a win. It's a win-win for everybody. More screen time. Actually, you know what? The NFL doesn't want to do this. You know why? Because they want to kick off the 4 o'clock games. The NFL is so performance-based where they have these time slots, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, Sunday night, that they don't want to interfere with the time slots of the game because they want to get to their next kickoff. That's why they're not doing this. Because in other sports, you want to take advantage of as much screen time as it is. But in the NFL, they have this set schedule already. I don't know. Maybe that's why they're not doing it.
Yeah, that's, I think that's 100% why they're not doing it. If I had to take a wild guess.
Because
yeah.
If you're going to a kick, you play 10-minute overtime and you go into a kicking competition, you're then all the way through the first quarter of the 4 o'clock game that's supposed to be your America's Game of the Week or something like that.
Yeah. But that would make football way more interesting if they did that. I actually like that idea, the kickoff kicking competition to the 55, and then if they just, you know, if they get to 50, both of them get to 55, just have them keep kicking until one of them miss, which probably should be soon if your kicker is Ryan Santoso.
Yeah, I think something like that, or you get 3 kicks from the 50-yard line, and then you just decide. You decide from there. If someone kicks 2 out of 3 and the other one kicks 1 out of 3, all right, someone who kicks 2 out of 3 wins, or if it's 2 out of 3 versus 2 out of 3, just keep going.
No, I will just kick until the first person misses, and then if the other kicker makes it after that, I guess I will just say they win.
Yeah, you get like a redemption, basically. It's like you get 3, and then, you know, let's say the guy that first kicks, he misses, and the guy after follows him makes it. If he makes it, game over. You win. It's just like a hockey penalty shootout. Or soccer, something like that. But I think it'd be cool in the NFL with a kicking competition.
That would be cool. Let's write a letter to the NFL because ties sucks. Nobody likes ties. Likes ties?
They do nothing.
They do nothing.
They hurt your draft position.
Yeah, makes it confusing as hell.
Yes.
For the draft position, that's all it does.
Draft position and playoff spot for like the last wild card. If you're like in a tough race, like which Pittsburgh could be in, they're 5-3-1 now. So. They're going to be in a close race for the playoffs in the wild card, and this tie could, you know, affect it. It's going to affect some type of result.
It is, because now they're confused on what they need to do to get to that wild card spot.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We need this in the next CBA. We need a kicking competition in the NFL. Yeah.
Who can we talk to? Is it Troy Vincent?
We'll talk. We'll get Roger Goodell on the line or something like that. We'll try to figure that out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll work on that right away, guy.
you didn't give me a meteorologist for Sunday.
Yeah, I did not. But I did predict. I told you the weather. I said it's going to suck, and guess what? It sucked.
Yeah, it did suck.
Yeah.
We didn't get snow, but we did get rain.
Oh, there's something I wanted to mention, man.
Yes.
Panay Sewell.
He balled.
He had a good game. He had a good game at the right side. I know a lot of people had question marks on that. Because he was going back to the right side. But he played well.
They asked him to do a lot, too. You know, in the screen game, and just kind of do a lot of the dirty work. And
yeah, you know, he did a good job. They pulled him a lot. Yeah, yeah. He pulled out a lot in the screen game.
Yeah, they didn't really have any opportunities to pass protect because they didn't pass the ball. But, yeah.
So that'll be something to see next week. I want to see how the offensive line is playing next week as well. That's something to look at.
You got another tough task as well. I mean, they did a good job with the Pittsburgh front, which is a good front, but then you got another tough task. You got Myles Garrett. I believe Jadeveon Clowney is healthy. So you got Clowney, Garrett. You got some nice defensive players in Cleveland, which we'll break down later this week. And that's not going to be an easy game either. So we'll talk about that later on in this week. But I think for now, I think that's all we got for this Lions Steelers
game. That's it. Yeah, man.
All right, guys. Hope you guys all enjoyed. We went a little over than usual, but I think that's okay. I think we had a good, healthy conversation. We officially, I think, eliminated this Lions-Steelers game just out of our systems, and we don't have to talk about this game for a while, which is, I think, a good thing. And I could hopefully forget about this game, which probably is not going to happen, but, you know, we're going to try our best. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you enjoyed. And come join us on Spotify Green Room on Sundays. Every game, an hour before kickoff and right after the game, I should say. We are live on Spotify Green Room talking about the Lions game. And we still haven't got to talk about a win. We still haven't had a victory Spotify Green Room. Preseason, regular season, nothing. We've had to have any victories yet.
No victories.
So we're going to try again this Sunday. Versus the Cleveland Browns. So come join us on Spotify Green Room. We were an hour before kickoff and right after the game.
You're scaring the listeners away. You're scaring them away right now.
Yeah, they're not coming. So, I'm out, guys. Peace. Because
there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.